Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Two Kidney Bryant, and there's Jerry over there. And this is Stuff You Should Know. The kidney donation edition.
Yeah, we did one on organ donation, right?
Yeah, and we did one on kidney stones.
And kidney stones.
So you put them together, you get this episode.
That's right. And this is from Dave Roos, our pal. And this good. Should we – this good.
It's that kind of day. How it's going.
Yeah. We're in person again, by the way.
Yeah.
We should just tell everyone that I'm making a fool of myself right in front of you for a change.
It's nice to see in person. And I should also point out that this is a double Dave day. Because he did the last one, too.
That's right.
Our inflation. Interest rates.
Yeah.
I forgot what we talked about.
I've already forgotten all of it.
So Dave did some digging for us and came up with some pretty surprising stats that I certainly had no idea about with kidney disease in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But something like 15% of all American adults have some form of chronic kidney disease. 37 million people right now.
37 million and 90,000 Americans are on the list waiting for a kidney transplant. And each year, this is very sad, about 5,000 Americans die while waiting and another 3,000 more become too sick to get that transplant. So basically 8,000-ish people are either dying or on their way to dying because they don't have a kidney that they can get.
Right. And then with, 37 million adults, just the adults alone with some form of chronic kidney disease, as their disease progresses, they end up on the list, the transplant list. So,
which we'll talk about in a sec.
What's really interesting about kidneys and in particular kidney donations is it's one of a very select few organs that you can donate while you're alive.
That's right.
And then whistle off back to your normal life down one kidney.
Yeah, you can't donate your heart to somebody.
No.
It's a very sweet gesture.
Sure.
But you got two kidneys. You only need one. I think the number, the percentage is if you donate a kidney, which is interesting because the one kidney you have must ramp up production because your kidney function only goes down – what was it, 15 to 20% or something like that?
Yeah, something, nothing, 35 maybe?
Yeah, it's not 50%.
Right, and that's definitely doable. Like you can go through life with one kidney performing 65% of your previous function.
That's right.
That's not bad. And we should probably just kind of point out some of the amazing things the kidneys do. There are these two fist-sized organs, or one.
Yeah.
Depending on whether you've donated or not.
That's right. Or three, which we'll get back to the show.
Just under your rib cage on either side of your spine. So have your loved one make a fist with each hand, come up behind you, put their fist under your rib cage.
Gently.
Yeah. Just on either side of your spine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's your kidneys.
Right. And kidneys do a lot of things. The main, like sort of the money job that the kidneys do is they act as the filter system for your blood.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing. They filter about 200 quarts of fluids every day. And that's not just blood. That's blood and waste fluid.
That's so much.
That's a lot. 200 quarts is a lot.
And
kidneys are always working.
Yeah.
And within the kidneys, there are about 1 to 1.5 million tiny little filters inside the kidney called nephrons. Mm-hmm. If you just think Nora Ephron.
Or Nefertiti.
Or Nefertiti. And those nephrons are what's doing the actual filtering. They're just tiny little filters. They also, what else do they do? They also release a hormone called erythropoietin, EPO. It regulates production of red blood cells in mm-hmm. bone marrow. Very mm-hmm. big deal.
Yeah. They also convert vitamin D from a non-usable form from like the sun mm-hmm. into a usable form, which is pretty important because vitamin D helps you retain and absorb calcium and phosphorus for building bones, reduces inflammation,
right.
possibly combats tumor growth.
Mm-hmm.
And all this is coming from your kidneys doing its thing. And then one other thing we kind of skipped over a little bit that I think is worth pointing out. Of those 200 quarts of fluid every day, 2 quarts of it, I think you said, is waste.
Yeah.
You pee it out. It gets converted into urine, sent to the bladder, and you pee it out.
Yeah.
And finally, Chuck, finally, the eight-ounce glasses of water a day make sense. It's not arbitrary anymore.
You never realized that?
No. I never understood. I thought it was actually made up, an arbitrary number,
yeah.
that 64 ounces, because that's how much you pee out on a normal day, because that's how much your kidneys filter out as waste. So you got to replenish it.
Yeah. This is funny that,
I'm this days old when I finally realized
this many days old.
Yeah.
What else? They also release a hormone called renin, regulates your blood pressure, and we'll see blood pressure and kidneys have a lot to do with one another.
Yep. And what else? Anything?
You know what? I bet you there's other things a kidney does that it just doesn't like to take credit for.
So, one of the problems with your kidneys is that they can break down. They're susceptible to all sorts of other stuff going on in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big things that puts stress on your kidneys, well, two of the big things that put stress on your kidneys is such, Chuck, colon.
Colon.
You've got blood pressure, high blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
which exerts pressure on the walls of your blood vessels, which in turn exerts pressure on your kidneys,
yeah.
damaging their function. And the big one. The big daddy of what causes chronic kidney disease is diabetes.
That's right. That's the number one. High blood pressure is number two. And, basically high blood sugar is going to damage the blood vessels in the kidney. It's going to kill those nephrons
mm-hmm.
that we were talking about. Those are the filters that actually do the filtering. And chronic kidney disease, they call it the silent disease. Because you can be through the first few stages of chronic kidney disease and not feel any symptoms at all,
right?
And not know what's going on. So it's very dangerous. There are 5 total, and stages 1 through 4, your kidneys are still doing their thing; they're struggling. But stage 5 is when you're in end stage renal disease or renal failure, and that's when your kidneys maybe aren't working at all and you're going to dialysis every day
yeah.
and you need a new kidney.
Yes. And we'll talk a little more about dialysis, but yes, once you hit stage 5, you're like your kidneys just aren't doing the work anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not like they just stop functioning little by little.
Mm-hmm.
They're unable to filter out waste. So the waste starts to accumulate and build up and you have all sorts of terrible symptoms like nausea, fatigue, vomiting.
I think you feel poisoned is what I've heard.
Yeah, I think that's basically what's going on is your body is being poisoned because it's no longer able to filter it out. So there's a lot of racial disparities too as far as kidney diseases go. And apparently it tracks very closely to diabetes.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you're a Black American, you are 4 times more likely to have kidney failure than a white American. Hispanic Americans, 1.3 times, and Native Americans, 1.2 times. And again, like those same rates are pretty close to the disparity in diabetes,
mm-hmm.
but also it has to do with things like access to healthcare,
right.
access to certain kinds of food that may not lead to diabetes or mm-hmm. will lead to diabetes. There's a lot of stuff kind of caught up into it that it's not entirely straightforward that everybody has an equal opportunity to develop kidney disease.
Yeah. It's just, it's really sad that it seems like everything comes down to money and access to money. And if you live in the United States and you are somewhere on the poverty spectrum,
mm-hmm.
then you're more likely to not have health care, not go to the doctor, eat worse food, get diabetes, have kidneys fail.
Right.
It's all sort of in lockstep with one another.
And then it gets even more insidious than that, because once you get to stage five, you might not have reliable transportation to go do dialysis. And dialysis is extremely time consuming.
It is.
So it's going to be hard for you to keep down a job.
Yeah, my neighbor, before they moved, and sadly he passed away, Miss Jessie and Mr. Otis, he had his he had the ambulance come, or, you know, it looks like an ambulance, but it's not an emergency one. Mm-hmm. It's just the transpo. They picked him up every day, took him to dialysis.
Wow.
Brought him home, and this was for the last couple of years of his life, you know, going every single day. And
jeez.
It's a good dude. I wish I would have gotten to know him a little bit better before he passed. But so dialysis is short for hemodialysis, and it is literally just a machine that does the filtering that your kidneys do. So you sit there for, what is it, like 4 hours?
Yep, usually about three times a week.
Yeah, three times a week, four-hour sessions, and they just clean your blood in full with each session.
Yeah, there's like a little membrane that doesn't let the important stuff like red blood cells get through.
Right.
But it does let those waste products get through, and they just get sloshed out, whereas the blood that doesn't go through the membrane gets put back into your body.
Yeah, and you're on dialysis for life.
Yeah.
Unless you can get a new kidney. Mm-hmm. And then even if you do get a new kidney, you might be on dialysis for a little while, as we'll see.
Yeah. So, Chuck, I feel like this is a good time to take a break, just off the top of my head.
Let's do it.
Okay. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back, everybody. Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
Hey, everybody, if you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. You start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
Change.
Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Okay, so it's not fun to have kidney failure, especially stage 5 kidney failure.
Yeah.
Because you're going to dialysis a lot, and there's a lot of terrible symptoms involved in it. If you are at that point, you're going to be put on an organ donation list. You're going to become a recipient or potential recipient of a donated kidney.
That's right. And that means you have signed up with the Organ Procurement and Transplantation Network, which is managed by a nonprofit called the United Network for Organ Sharing. A lot worse places you can donate your money to, by the way. And it's, you know, Dave points out very astutely that it's not like a waiting list, as in, you know, there's 90,000 people or more waiting for a kidney. So if you sign up for one, then you have 89,999 people in front of you,
right.
And it just very slowly, you know, that time ticks away.
Yeah.
It's a network. It is it's a pool of candidates, and because you have to get matched with a kidney, and there are all these criteria, one of which is blood type. Don't have to have necessarily the exact blood type. I think if you have like A, you can get AB. So there's a little bit of crossover there.
And O is universal, right?
Oh, is it O negative?
I think
so. Or just
so.
O? O. We did a thing on blood. It was a good one.
We did a live one.
That's right.
Remember my father-in-law spoke up when I did a blood test. He said, Josh is pregnant.
That's right.
He got more laughs than all of mine combined that night.
I remember that. That was a very, like, one of the only funny audience jokes that we've ever had.
It really was.
That was yelled out.
It's high quality heckling.
That was really good. I forgot about that. That's for the Atlanta Science Festival. That was fun. Where was I? That just totally threw me that I'm trying to picture you pregnant now.
Well, get a load of me, buddy.
blood type is one. The size of the organ, it's got to be a good fit. So like a little kid can't get a big adult kidney.
You wouldn't think about that, but it is true. And I mean, it's not just true with kidneys. With any organ, like I saw it put like a basketball player's lung won't fit in a child.
Right.
It's like, sure.
Yeah.
Those are wise words.
That's a good point. And then geography is one because – as you'll see, if you get a kidney donated from someone that you don't know, and it's not like a family member, then that kidney is going to be on ice basically for a little while. It's going to be transported maybe, or maybe you're transported, but there's going to be a little bit of time. They don't just like, you know, put you on the table like in the movies. They'd put you on the table next to your brother and they would just like slide one kidney right in, you know, just across the room to the other.
Make the beep sound.
So geography is a consideration. So within this network, you know, there's a big algorithm that's going to match blood types and all these things. And like, hey, you live in Birmingham. We got a kidney in Tuscaloosa. So you guys are a pretty good match.
Yeah. And so with each new organ that comes up for donation, you get a new score calculated by the computer. Like, it's not like you get your score assigned. It's all contextual based on your relation to that organ that's being considered, that's being donated.
Yeah, and also we should point out that it's also based on your need. Like if you're, you know, how urgent it is in a lot of cases.
Yeah, it's also based, though, on some other stuff, too, which is, you know, kind of calculating, but it makes sense. Your age.
Yeah.
The younger you are, the higher your score, which makes it likelier for you to get that. The likelihood that you will survive the procedure, the likelihood that you will reject the organ or not, sensitization, I think is what they call it. There's a bunch of different factors. And this is fairly recent, this pool method. It's kind of revolutionized things and apparently made it a lot better, a lot. From what I understand, it's a lot more sensible and fair.
Yeah, and it also makes sense, like, once you see the numbers, like, every kidney is super important.
Sure.
And so they want to give them to people where you have the best chance for that kidney to work over, you know, for 10 to 15, 20 years.
Right. Yeah.
Can't waste no kidney left behind.
No. Oh, man, can you imagine if they were just like, oh, we left it on the plane, just forget about it. You're like, I just donated that kidney for nothing.
Right.
It's in the trash now. Right. There's a story out there, and I kind of want to hear it.
See, I pictured more like Cheech and Chong were piloting the plane, and they're like, what's in the cooler, man? Right. And all of a sudden, it's a movie. They're looking for like some good
that's pretty good.
Good marijuana.
That reminds me of Snoop Dogg as the pilot in Soul Plane.
I never saw that. Was that good?
No, it wasn't at all. At all.
Yeah. It looked like a sort of homage to the sort of bad 70s comedies, you know.
Mm-hmm. It was.
It was like, hey, here's an idea. Let's get a bunch of like funny people and get them really high or drunk. Mm-hmm. And there's your movie.
Mm-hmm. That was exactly what they
tried
to do.
But this is an airport.
Right.
That's the twist.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to see it then.
The twist. Yeah, no, there's no reason to. I demand that you not see it, actually. Don't waste your time.
How are you going to sign up to be an organ donor? What are the couple of good ways you can do that?
Well, one way is whenever you go get your license renewed at the old DMV in the United States or the DMV in France, they're going to ask you if you want to be an organ donor. And you can say yes, and they will put it on your license. Yes, organ donor. So that if you buy the farm out and about and mm-hmm. you've got your driver's license on you, the doctors and the people at the hospital are going to look at your ID. And if they see yes, they're going to go to your family and say, your loved one here, who's now regretfully deceased, said that they want to donate their organs. Will you sign off on this? It seems to have been their wishes. And you can still say no if you're a family member, but probably you're going to say yes, especially if your deceased loved one said, hey, I marked yes on my that I want to donate organs on my driver's license. If I die, make sure my organs get donated. They're probably going to go along with it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny that – I wonder what percentage of people that sign up at the DMV for organ donation and the kidneys that actually go to other people and organs that successfully save lives, how many of those start with the two words, why not?
Yeah. Like, I don't need them.
You're at the DMV. You're bored out of your mind. You've been there for far too long. Yeah. And they ask you this question. You go, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, that is the most interesting question you've been asked in that whole experience.
Yeah, like maybe the biggest question you can answer in your life is whether or not you will donate your kidneys and your organs to save a human life.
Yeah.
And people probably just go.
To the DMV.
Yeah, why not?
So if you've been to the DMV and you said no and you regretted it.
Oh, okay.
But if you said no wanted to, you can still go and register, right?
Yeah, you go to registerme.org. And you can register there. And here's the deal. In 2021, here's some more stats for you.
Okay.
There were 40,000 total organ transplants. I think most of those are, I think, was it like 85% are kidney transplants? Like
yes.
Far and away the most are kidney transplants. Mm-hmm. And only 6,500 of those 45 came from living donors, which was I have a relative or I'm just a benevolent human who wants to give a kidney to anonymously to somebody.
I know, man.
I mean, yeah, talk about sainthood.
Yeah.
So 2/3 of all kidney transplants are from deceased donors. So like you said, it's a lot of times it's accidents, car and motorcycle accidents where there's like traumatic head injury but the organs are still in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
You're young, you're in good shape. And so, you may be brain dead and they can the word harvest always sounds so cruel, but they can harvest, borrow your organs?
No, it's permanently. Harvest. It's definitely harvest. Remember in our book, that chapter on Jack Kevorkian, mm-hmm. he had that idea in the, I think, 60s or 70s where he was like, well, if we're going to execute people, let's just execute them through organ harvesting. You know, we right. start to perform surgery on them and we harvest their organs. And then once we're done, they're dead.
Right. But and we've got their
like,
organs.
Yeah. Then we're donating their organs. And everybody's like, it's a really great idea, but you're a creepy dude. Right. And I think you're the last person who should be espousing this kind of stuff.
Well, maybe he shouldn't have expressed this idea while imitating Werner Herzog.
Right. And where are your pants?
That's right. So that means at the end of the day, one human body can save up to eight. Noel does a pretty good Werner Herzog. He's doing
yeah?
a movie crush, yeah.
Check
but the best
out.
Ever is Paula Tompkins. His Werner Herzog is fantastic.
I haven't heard his.
Just look it up on the internet.
It's, okay, all
it's
right.
great. One single human body, an organ donor, can save up to eight lives, and that is just with the organs. And then you've got tissue donation. You've got eyes that can bring sight to someone. We should totally do one on eye transplants.
Yeah, might also show you the killer of the person whose eyes you got, in which case you're morally responsible for chasing that killer down and turning them in.
And bringing them to justice or exacting revenge if it's a really good movie.
Sure. A Bridge of Fond type movie?
Was that then the actual plot of one, or was that just a typical movie plot?
I don't remember who was in it, though.
Was it Jennifer Aiton? I don't know.
No, Jennifer Eight was a blind woman, a sightless woman, who was going to be the eighth victim of a serial killer who was targeting blind women.
Okay.
And I could spoil it for everybody. I'm not going to. It's actually worth seeing. It's a good 90s
really?
Movie with Andy Garcia and...
Yeah.
I don't remember
Uma Thurman,
who else.
Wasn't it?
Was
Jennifer
it her? Eight? Yeah, it's a good movie. I think it's out there still.
Or I'm thinking of the movie... where the guy got the hand transplant.
Encino Man.
The hand was from a serial killer, and so he got a bad hand that wanted to do bad things. Jeff Fahey, I think. The
Who's
Lawnmower
Jeff
Man. But
Fahey? No.
Jeff Fahey was the Lawnmower Man.
Okay, I never saw that one.
I mean, it might have been called something as basic as like Bad Hand or something.
Was it called Idle Hands?
No, that was different.
And that was not good.
I'll look it up and we'll – how about this? So, folks, stick around for listener mail. We'll look it up in the interim.
Oh, okay.
We'll announce it at the beginning of listener
Finally,
mail.
Finally, year 14, we got a new hook for the show.
Or maybe I can just make up an email that fake Jeff Fahey sent in.
Okay.
Remember me?
We need
That's
a,
how it starts.
We need a fake Jeff Fahey sound effect, right? Like our colon sound effect.
All right. So, living donation is something we should talk about. This is, like you said at the beginning, one of the only organs you can donate. I mean, is it the only one?
No, you can also donate a portion of your uterus.
Okay.
And a portion of your liver.
Okay, portions.
Yes, but other than that, that's it.
Right. So I got a little bit of history here. If you're talking kidney transplants, you got to go back to 1902 was when they did a dog kidney transplant in Austria. Mm-hmm. The dog did not make it, of course, but it did produce urine for a couple of days, the kidney.
Man.
Not bad.
I know. And that really just kind of takes you back to some
1902.
Really unsettling black and white view of like some terrible experiment.
Yeah. Let me see. In 1909, apparently there were efforts to transplant kidneys from humans, dead humans, to monkeys.
Mm-hmm, as you do.
39, the first deceased human donor, I think, was performed in Russia. But the organ, it didn't take. Organ never worked. But they tried it in 39.
They tried their best.
From human to human. 53, you finally had your first successful temporary human kidney transplant in Paris.
It was twins, right?
16-year-old boy received one from his mother.
Oh, okay.
As a living donor. And then 54, I think, was the twins. It was the first long-term successful kidney transplant by Joseph Murray, who won a Nobel Prize for that.
Sure.
And then 62 is the first non-related, no genetics involved whatsoever.
So it's only been since the 1950s, 1960s that we've been able to successfully transplant kidneys. But once we got it pretty good.
Yeah.
We have it down pat.
Let's do this a lot, guys. This is fun.
So if you are a living donor and you do donate your kidney, I think that makes out about a quarter of kidney donations today, right?
Yeah.
Is a living donor. Somebody saying, take my kidney, put it in somebody else. More often than not, it's put it in my brother, put it in my spouse.
Yeah, three quarters of the time, it's you're related.
Right. But there's that still means that 25% of 25% of all kidney donations. So that means however many thousand kidney donations are donated by people who are just saying, like, here, take my kidney and give it to whoever needs it.
That's right. And sometimes that is anonymously. Sometimes it's a friend. Sometimes it's a spouse. Sometimes you hear about someone in your community. But, yeah, sometimes it's you don't even know anybody, and you're just like, you know what? I'm going to save a life.
Yeah.
I'm at the DMV.
Right.
And I want to save a life.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. So if you do that, you're a living donor. And there's a lot of advantages to a living donation compared to a deceased donation, an organ taken from somebody who's died.
Yeah.
Right? So if you donate your kidney, there's like the chances of the kidney being rejected are lower compared to a deceased donor. The kidney will probably start functioning independently, like on its own, much more quickly than a deceased donor one, because the deceased donor one is going to be basically put on ice for a little while it's transported.
By Cheech and Chong.
Kept, you know, kind of, you know, yes, exactly. There's also a difference in the amount of time that the average kidney lasts between a deceased donor and a living donor, right?
Yeah, well, you tend to live longer and your kidney lasts between 15 and 20 years on average from a living donor. It's only about a decade from a deceased donor. And you also have a better chance if you are genetically related of avoiding rejection.
Right. So
living, genetically related living donor is like the creme de la creme of getting a kidney.
Right, exactly. There's also more convenient too. If you are a living donor, you can say, let's do this like a week from Tuesday.
Right.
That works best for me, not this guy just died. We need to get this into a recipient like as soon as possible. Let's find somebody kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's another big advantage too. So I think we've established here, living kidney donations are the way to go if you can do it.
Yeah, from a relative, ideally.
So let's take a break because there's actually ways to maximize how kidneys get donated, Chuck. And we're going to tell everybody about it after this.
Let's do it.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody. If you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva Presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva Presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com. Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island. It becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
All right, so on the kidney exchange, it's pretty cool how they've worked this out over the years. There is something called paired exchanges, and it goes a little something like this. You want to donate a kidney to your relative, to your niece.
Okay.
But you don't have the right blood type. You can get paired up with someone who does have the right blood type who needs your kidney.
Uh-huh.
They'll be like, wait a minute, my niece needs a kidney.
Right.
You've got her blood type, and I've got your niece's blood type.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just get together and make this all work out.
Crisscross, yeah, as Alfred Hitchcock put it.
It's a paired exchange. But then that is multiplied exponentially by the donor chain, right?
Yes. So, like, if you have a good computer handy to run an algorithm for you, because apparently it's very difficult to do, you can take a bunch of these mismatched pairs. Rather than four people, you can take, I think, up to 70 people.
Yeah.
And one good Samaritan donor who says, take my kidney, I don't care who gets it, can set off a chain of paired matching that can satisfy up to 70 recipients.
Yeah, so cool.
Through a combination of one person donating it without any, you know, just saying, take my kidney, put it in somebody, and then a bunch of paired matches, all like 70 people. So it makes it really difficult to say, like, I don't really want to donate my kidney. When not only are you saving one person's life, you're setting off a chain reaction that allows for 70 different people to get their kidney. Because you donated yours without directing it toward anybody in particular.
Yeah. And if that's not the first thing you say on every first date you go to for the rest of your life,
right,
then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
We should mention that there was a Nobel Prize winning economist named Alvin Roth who came up with this donor chain idea. And I don't think we said you have to be 18 to donate a kidney.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be in good health and you have like – rocking kidneys, basically, and also in good health otherwise.
Yeah.
Like a 16-year-old can't donate a kidney.
That's the other reason why a living donor is advantageous, because of that luxury of time, because you can run a battery of tests.
Yes.
You have time to run tons of tests to make sure they're a perfect match for this other person.
That's right.
So when you do say, okay, I'm going to do it. And by the way, Dave said from researching this, he was inspired to do it. I think he may have put himself on a list or was going to, although it may have worn off by now. Who knows? We'll have to ask him.
Right.
But if you do this, you are going to undergo surgery It's just as simple as that. And it's a serious surgery. Like, they're removing your kidney. Like I said, we've got it down pat since we've been doing it since the 50s or 60s. And now they can usually do it laparoscopically.
Yeah, how does that work?
I think they just squeeze it real tight into this really long pencil-like.
Really?
No.
I mean, how do they get the kidney out, though?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's the one thing that flummoxed me, and I almost, like, Googled to see if I could find, you know, a surgery I could watch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Laparoscopic kidney removal.
Because laparoscopic means it's, like, a very small incision.
Yeah.
You're using very, very thin, like, cameras and very thin tools. But then how do you get the kidney out? If it's fist size.
I don't know.
I mean, this is larger than a laparoscopic
Sure.
You know, incision. Yeah. This is a widowmaker right here.
And here to me is the fact of the show. I never knew this. They don't take out your bad kidney.
Yeah.
Did not know that. They just leave it in there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they did the research and found out that they didn't need to.
Yeah.
And that doesn't do any harm and maybe me more dangerous to take it out.
I can see that.
Than to leave it in. But you end up, if you have a kidney, with three kidneys.
Yeah. So I mean, surely they detach those kidneys.
Well, yeah, because you got to attach the other, right?
Yeah, I guess so. So that's what they do. The surgery is to, they take it out of you. And at that point, you're like, okay, I'm done. It's all recovery for me. But they have to put it in the other person. And like you said, they leave the other kidneys. They attach the one to the blood vessels so that it's, you know, getting the blood supply to filter. And then also they attach it to your ureter so that it can transport waste to your bladder. And supposedly, it's actually a pretty effective surgery and with minimal negative outcomes.
Yeah, recovery time for the donors, a couple of days in the hospital, 1 to 2 weeks at home, 6 to 8 weeks total, and then you got to come in at 6, 12, and 24 months for checkups. We said, you lose 25 to 35% of your kidney function, but that's not 50, so your one kidney must, like, ramp it up. And then you said pretty good outcomes. There are, I think this is between 2006 and 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 17,000, oh, there's your number right there. If the numbers hold, that would be 17,000 over 3 years.
So about 5,000 and change a year.
At least back then.
Yeah.
Unless there's been a rush.
Yeah.
Only 12 donor deaths out of the 17,402. And only one of those was from the surgery, from like hemorrhaging?
It's close. Hemorrhaging.
Hemorrhaging. God, that sounds weird.
Hemorrhaging. Yeah.
Okay.
It was purposefully weird.
During surgery.
Yeah.
Bleeding too much.
Don't forget to complete the sentence.
That was very Porky Pig of me.
So, yeah, that's a pretty good track record. 12 deaths out of 17,402 transplants. They also studied people for long-term effects and found that somebody who had donated a kidney had about the same chance of suffering end-stage renal failure as the general population. So it didn't increase their chances one bit. And I was like, okay, all right, internet, let me go a few more pages deep. Like, where's the real talk about the long-term consequences of donating a kidney? And from what I can see, study after study, it shows like there's really not any long-term effects. After about 6 or 8 weeks of recovery, you can go back to a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, you're going to feel very fatigued.
Yeah.
Your function's going to be decreased. But if you say, I'm donating my kidney, I'm just going to take 2 months off, basically, of life, you know, like stressful life. That's really not too bad, considering that you basically go back to normal life after 2 months and your kidney, the one kidney you have, is still doing 65% of the original function.
Yeah, like if you work from home, you have no excuse.
Exactly.
Dave did put in here, and I looked into this a little more, that a drawback might be it might affect your life insurance or disqualify you or increase your rates.
Yeah.
So I poked around that because that sounded like a horrible thing. And it wouldn't have surprised me, but it looks like there are a lot of protections in place from the Affordable Care Act for stuff like this, thankfully. And if you have never had insurance, you have your kidney removed, and you go to get life insurance for the first time, then you may not be able to get it as easily, but you're not booted from your life insurance policy because you donated a kidney, or your rates aren't going to skyrocket because you donated a kidney.
Gotcha.
It's against the law.
It should be.
Yeah.
So there's a risk of rejection. Like, that's something you have to go into it knowing. Like, you might donate your kidney and it just might not work.
Yeah.
Despite all the tests, despite all of the care given into matching you and your kidney with a recipient, it still might get rejected. But they have developed a lot of different drugs to cut down on the chance of rejection, right?
Yeah, they're called anti-rejection drugs or immunosuppressants, and there are a couple kinds. There's one that are super powerful that they give you at the time of the transplant called induction agents, and then you've got maintenance agents. And there were basically four different kinds of maintenance agents. And the way this one website I saw put it, I think it was at kidney.org or whatever.
That sounds made up.
was that they said, look at it as like a mortgage. Your down payment is the induction agent, like the heavy-duty drugs they give you when they do the transplant, and the maintenance agents are like your monthly payment.
Mm-hmm.
And the bigger the down payment, the lower the monthly. So if the induction agents are really, really work well, then you're not going to be on as many long-term medications for maintenance.
And I didn't really recognize any of the drugs except for prednisone, the steroid.
Yeah, I didn't either. I saw the most common combination of drugs is three things, one called tacrolimus, which is calcineurin inhibitor, one called mycophenolate, mofetil, which is an anti-proliferate, and then prednisone.
Okay.
And I saw that you're generally on these for life, but they can, you know, scale down. I don't know if you're ever off of them completely, but yeah, I think 30% of kidney recipients experience some sort of rejection. So those,
but it doesn't necessarily.
Key.
It doesn't mean that like that's it. It didn't work.
I don't think
back
so.
Back to square one necessarily.
Yeah, I think like in a lot of those cases, you can keep that kidney if the drugs are working.
Right. So the entire thing, this entire thing, whether it's a dead donor, a deceased donor. I'm sorry, I keep calling it dead donor. I know it's not quite right.
Yeah.
Even though it's accurate. Or living donors of kidneys. All of this is based on altruism.
Yeah.
The entire organ procurement, organ donation system everywhere in the world, save for one country, is based on the kindness of and generosity of donors who do it for no money whatsoever, just out of the goodness of their heart.
Yes.
And that's the way that a lot of people think it should be. That's the way that it's enshrined in law that that's the way that it has to be in the United States. There's a law called the National Organ Transplant Act of 1984 that says you cannot gain financially.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly how they put it, but you can't make any kind of like gain from donating your organ. And I was like, where did that law come from? What prompted that?
Well, probably the black market for organs, huh?
It turned out there was a guy. So that was the act of 1984. In 1982, there was a doctor in Virginia named H. Barry Jacobs who announced that he was setting up a market for organs. He was going to create a brokerage for organs.
He's like, there's no federal law against
That's exactly right. And so they went and made a federal law against it because they're like, that is objectively unethical and immoral. And that's kind of the basis for organ donation in this country. And again, every country in the world except for Iran, that it's unethical to make money selling organs or to pay someone for their organs because they're worried that it sets off a whole cascade of problems.
Yeah, I think they try and make it cost neutral for the donor, which means your expenses are covered. Like you're not going to be paying, like the recipient's insurance is going to be paying for all the operations and surgeries and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then there are, you know, private nonprofits that can also help cover like travel. Mm-hmm. And if you're a low income donor, help pay for stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still not getting like paid to do it. And the idea there is ethically is that you know, the dystopian science fiction plot, which is there's a class of wealthy people who harvest the poor mm-hmm. on organ farms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like something out of a movie, but it's also something that could very well happen
right.
if you let that kind of thing, you know, take place. You know, black market and human trafficking again, like you mentioned. And then another one which I didn't think of is that the motivation for someone doing it, if you're getting paid, like you may not – you may fudge a little bit on your questionnaires
yeah.
and like fake something to make money to get an organ taken out of your body.
Yeah, it's almost like they've identified it as such a valuable thing
yeah.
that you can't assign – any kind of monetary value to it. You can't allow that to happen or else nothing but bad things are going to happen. And there's actually polls that support this, although some people say that's stupid. No matter how many generous people are donating organs, the demand is still not there. I mean, you said it yourself, like mm-hmm. 5,000 people die on organ transplant waiting lists every year in the United States alone. That's just in the U.S. alone.
Yeah.
You know, people die all over the world on organ transplant lists every year. And so people say, that's stupid. If people are willing to sell, like, their kidney in particular, let them do it. It's a free world. It's a free country, at least. So what's the problem?
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea – I'm not lobbying for this, but they have floated things like a $50,000 tax rebate that mm-hmm. you can – absorb over like a decade
right.
or wipe out your student loans or something like that. Like they're not literally just cutting you a check. Things like that are interesting because donating a kidney saves taxpayers close to $150,000 in medical costs paid out by Medicare
right.
for dialysis and things like that. And there was another analysis that found that paying donors $45,000 for a kidney would result in a net gain of $46 billion mm-hmm. in lowered medical costs and better health overall health outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So like something like that is interesting, not just like harvesting organs for cash, but if people want to take a big fat tax rebate over a decade,
mm-hmm.
it leads to less taxpayer payouts for Medicaid and or for Medicare. Better health outcomes? I don't know. Something worth thinking about.
Yeah, and other people would say this. That's already going on. There's a very healthy black market for organs all around the world.
Right.
I saw an estimate on some human trafficking website that was something like 10,000 kidneys a year are procured really? And transplanted on the black market.
Wow.
But then, Chuck, ultimately there is one country, Iran,
yeah.
that allows payment for organs.
I think it's like $4,500.
Something like that. And then also like your
9,000.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a pretty insubstantial amount if you're selling a kidney compared to, say, like the $45,000 the U.S. is considering.
Right.
Or I shouldn't say the U.S. is considering. Americans have come up with in a study.
Right.
But there is one stat that stood out to me that I think kind of suggests – you know, not applying money to organ procurement is that 85% of a 2001 study of 300 Iranian paid organ donors, 85% said that if they could go back, they would not have sold their kidney.
No, there you have it.
There you have it, pretty much. You got anything else about kidney transplants and donations and all that?
No.
Well, again, if you want to donate your organs and you aren't going to the DMV anytime soon, go to registerme.org. And since I said registerme.org, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this DB Cooper follow-up.
Did you see this? Oh, wow, no.
Pretty interesting. And this is from Holly. Hey guys, Holly from Texas here. Been listening about 6 months and I'm obsessed. I turned to the Facebook groups to suggest some fan favorite episodes, and DB Cooper, the live episode, was mentioned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of a story you might enjoy. Several years ago, I was at a small family gathering at my grandparents, and we were sitting around chatting about different topics and memories. And my grandma casually says, "Oh, that's just like the time when the FBI tapped our phones because they thought Grandpa was DB Cooper."
Whoa.
I, of course, did a dramatic double take, slammed both of my hands on the table, and exclaimed, "What?" I mean, I was floored. At the time, I was in my late 30s, had never heard this story in my whole life. That's the thing with grandparents. You hear this stuff, and you're like, how did I not know this?
I know.
I, of course, had to dramatically turn to my grandpa with narrowed eyes and say, "Who are you?" My grandma was very nonchalant about the whole thing, and I was like, wait, explain, please. She didn't have much more info, but I guess my grandpa was cleared, obviously. And it's still a mystery why they suspected my grandpa, mainly considering the fact that they lived in New Mexico at the time. We sadly lost my grandma in July 2021, but I'm happy to report that my grandpa is still doing well, even though I could never picture my cowboy boot-loving, heavily starched Wrangler jean-wearing grandpa in a skinny tie from JCPenney. Although he does enjoy his daily bourbon.
And that's a clue.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
So that's from Holly. That's a great email, Holly.
That is one of the all-time greats, Holly.
I love that.
She's like, also, my grandpa pays for everything from a bag of money that he keeps in the shed out back.
Yeah. We always got unmarked $100 bills for birthdays. Right.
If you want to be like Holly and tell us one of the great family stories that you heard from your grandparents about, we want to hear those too. You can send them to us at stuffpodcasts@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Hey everybody, I want to talk to you for a second here about Canva, specifically Canva presentations that are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation. So start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Just go to Canva, C-A-N-V-A.com. Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.